This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على عبده ورسوله نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد، أهلا وسهلا ومرحبا بكم. Welcome our dear students. أهلا وسهلا ومرحبا بكم. Our seventh lesson in أصول الفقه والحمد لله. يا عبد الله يا أمة الله, we're going through the text أصول الفقه, introduction to أصول الفقه from the تأهيل الفقهي syllabus, and also going through الورقات by إمام الجويني, إمام الحرمين الجويني رحمه الله. يا عبد الله يا أمة الله, in this majlis بإذن الله تعالى, we will be covering the matters related to قياس inshallah. What is قياس? We will discuss, we'll talk about an introduction, we'll go through the definitions, the different types of قياس, analogy, deduction, we'll discuss the pillars and the conditions related to those pillars of قياس, we'll discuss the most important matter, and that is the illa, the ratio legis, the sabab or the reasoning behind the matter, and how to identify the illa insha'Allah. Lastly, we will end our discussion related to qiyas with, well, is qiyas a proof or not? We'll discuss the Zahiri scholars, Ibn Hazm al-Zahiri al-Andalusi and others, stating that no, qiyas is not a proof at all. It's not a rational proof of the sharia. Why? They say, well, Iblis was the first one to make qiyas. خلقتني من نار وخلقته من طين. I was created from fire, and he was created from dust, Adam alayhi salam. And so I'm better than him. So the Zahiri is stating, if you're gonna make qiyas, then you are following in the footsteps of Iblis. Allahu musta'an. Why did majority of the ulama, and in fact many of the ulama, state that qiyas is an agreed upon proof? How come? The Zahiri is deferred. We will discuss, Ya Abdullah, Ya Amatullah. But before that, bi-iznillahi ta'ala, let us do a little bit of recapping, insha'Allah. In our previous majlis, we discussed matters pertaining to the dalalatul alfaz, the implication of phrases, implications of the words of the Quran and the Sunnah. We touched upon matters related to al-zahir, that which is apparent, that which is manifest. We learnt that the basic default rule with regards to an order is that it's an obligation until proven otherwise. With regards to a prohibition, well, it's a prohibition. It equals haram until proven otherwise. That's the zahir, the apparent, the manifest of it. We also learnt with regards to absolute, mutlaq, it will be regarded as absolute until proven otherwise. With regards to am, that which is general, a verse or a hadith which is general, will be left general until proven otherwise. That's the default rule, and that is the zahir rule. Excellent. Then we went a bit deeper into matters and discussions. We said with regards to the order, well, what are some of the phrases which indicate something is an order, something is an amr, the implication behind it, does it equal wujub, does it equal fard, etc. If an order is given, does it require repetition? We discussed. We also learned, well, what if something was missed, an order was missed, does this automatically mean one needs to make qada of this matter? What if I have an order after a prohibition? What does it equal? An order after a prohibition, does it equal an order, or does it equal permissibility? We discussed. Then we moved our discussion to the nahi, the prohibition. By default, it's regarded as haram until proven otherwise. What are some of the phrases which indicate something is prohibited? What if something's prohibited? Does it automatically mean that it will be regarded as fasid, as batil, as invalid? We discussed that matter. We also discussed the mas'ala, that what's worse? What's worse? Leaving an order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or falling into a prohibition? And we discussed the issue between Iblis and Adam alayhi salam. Iblis, he refused to follow the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to prostrate before Adam alayhi salam. He left out an amr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whereas Adam alayhi salam, he fell short because of his desires, etc. He fell into one of the prohibitions. And so the ulama state that the sin of Iblis was worse than the sin of Adam alayhi salam. And also one was out of pride and one was falling into temptation. Allahumma musta'an. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, our discussion related to the am, the general. Then there we saw the different phrases which indicate something is general. And we saw that there's a major difference between how majority of the ulama look at something which is am, general, and how the Hanafi scholars look at the same thing. Majority of the ulama stating, well, it is am, and this is dalala dhanniya, and thus a proof which is also dhanni can come along and make specification. Whereas the Hanafis differed. Hanafis said no, that when something is am, this is dalala qat'iyya. And so you require a qat'i proof to come along, a decisive proof to come along and specify it. And then there's a lot of fruits of this mas'ala. There's a lot of fruits which come out in the actual fiqh because of this difference in the usul matter. Lastly, Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, we discussed the matters of mutlaq. Mutlaq, that which is absolute, basic default rule. It is left mutlaq until proven otherwise. Until we can prove that there is restriction, that there is taqeed. And we discussed the different types and the different scenarios and situations. Walhamdulillah, the matter of haml al-mutlaq ala al-muqayyid, etc., etc. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, we move our discussion now, insha'Allah, to al-qiyas. Al-qiyas. Jameel. What does qiyas mean? Qiyas means analogical reasoning or deduction. Analogical reasoning or deduction. We find that it is from one of the rational proofs. It's not a textual proof. It's not like the Quran, a verse of the noble Quran. It's not a hadith of the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Rather, this is a rational proof. So, for example, we have maybe alcohol here. Jayid, so we have alcohol. And we know that alcohol is prohibited. As per the noble Quran, as per the noble Quran, we cannot consume this wine. Excellent, mashallah. What's the reason? Why? What's the illa? Excellent. That's a good question. If we can figure out the illa, let's say we figure it out and we find that, well, the reason that this wine is prohibited is because it makes us intoxicated, that you lose the focus of what's going on, etc. You get drunk, you get tipsy. And so it's the matter of iskar, intoxication. Excellent. Now that we figured out the reason behind it, let's say we have a new drink that comes along, and this drink is called Jerry drink, for example. It's called Jerry drink, and we're not sure now what's the ruling with regards to it. Is it halal? Is it haram? Etc. etc. Well, if we find that it has that quality of iskar, it has that quality of intoxication, then it will follow the same ruling of the wine, wherein we had the text, we had a proof that this wine was prohibited. Then we take that ruling and we extend it and we apply it upon the jerry drink, bi-iznillahi ta'ala. So that's an example of qiyas, insha'Allah. You go to the shop, you pick out something, there's a cell phone there and there's a price tag there, $100. The cell phone next to it is exactly the same, but there's no price tag on it. You ask the person in charge, what's the price of this second cell phone? They tell you, well, I mean, it's $100, just like the first one. There's absolutely no difference whatsoever. Then you ask him the third one, which resembles the first and the second identically, no difference whatsoever. You ask him, what's the price of the third one? There's no price tag here. He'd say to you, brother, is there something wrong with you? If the first one is $100, then the second one is exactly the same. It would also be $100. And the third will also be $100. Why? Because they are all the same. And so we extend the ruling of the $100 price tag upon the second and the third and the fourth, etc. for as long as they are all the same. Alhamdulillah. Excellent. So these are some examples of qiyas, insha'Allah. Jameel. So it's from the rational proofs. It's from the adilla al-aqliya. Jayid. Some ulama state that qiyas is the hardest aspect of usul al-fiqh, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. We also find that some mentioning that qiyas is a source of the sharia. No. The sources of the Sharia, Quran and Sunnah. Then we have evidences. Evidences are much broader than the sources. So Qiyas is an evidence. Ijma', consensus, this is also an evidence, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. Jameel. And as was mentioned, majority of the ulama, or the overwhelming super majority of the ulama, they regard Qiyas to be a proof of the Sharia. Who deferred? The Zahiri scholars, and there were also some other scholars with them, as we will discuss, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. Jameel. With regards to Qiyas, then let us give a few examples. We've already gone through the first one, and that was the matter of the wine, insha'Allah. Another example, we find in the Noble Quran that when the adhan for Salatul Jumu'ah is given, then you need to leave off all of your business transactions, and you need to head off to the masjid, and you need to be there for the salah, insha'Allah. Excellent. You need to be there for the khutbah, etc., etc. Jameel. So Allah mentioned in the Noble Quran, wadharul bay', leave off business transactions. Somebody comes along and he says, well, what's the ruling with regards to hiring somebody? What's the ruling with regards to a loan transaction? What's the ruling with regards to a rental transaction when the adhan of Jumu'ah is given? Are these items allowed and only buying and selling prohibited? We say, well, let us try to investigate the illa behind the prohibition with regards to buying and selling. What's the reason? So that you are present there for Jumu'ah, so that you don't miss out on the Jumu'ah. And so we extend that ruling, the ruling in the Noble Quran, that buying and selling during the time of Jumu'ah is prohibited. We take that ruling and we extend it and apply it upon borrowing, loaning, hiring, all other types of contracts. They are not allowed now that the adhan for Salatul Jumu'ah has been given. Why? Because they share the common denominator. They share the common illa that if you are busy with them, you will not be there for Salatul Jumu'ah. You will be missing out on the khutbah, etc., etc. Jameel. So those are two examples so far that we've given. The first one, the matter of the wine. And the second one, the matter of the adhan of Salatul Jumu'ah and buying and selling prohibited as per the Noble Quran, Suratul Jumu'ah, verse number 9. Our third example, our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated, لا يرث القاتل. The killer will not inherit. Not inherit from where? He will not inherit from the estate of the deceased. He will not inherit from the estate of the person that he killed. Allahu musta'an. So let's say, for an example, we had a son and he killed his father. Allahu musta'an. Allah save us. So this son here, he will not inherit from the father's estate. The father was a millionaire. This son will not get a dime. Why? Because you brought forward that which was meant for you, but before its appointed time. So you will be prohibited from benefiting from it. You killed your father so that you will inherit. You will not inherit at all. So this is what we know. Alhamdulillah. Jameel. Somebody comes along and he says, well, you know what? We have a case and a neighbor, he killed his neighbor, and he was in line to inherit from that neighbor's estate via a wasiyah, via a bequest. The neighbor had stated in his will that when I die, my house must be gifted and given to my neighbor. My neighbor was such a good guy. I want my house to go to him. So this neighbor, he heard about the matter and he says, well, I want the house now. I don't want to wait 20 years from now. So he murdered his neighbor. Allahu musta'an. So the question being now, well, we know with regards to inheritance, the killer will not inherit. But what about the matter of wasiyah? Is it the same? Is it different? We look for the illa. What's the common denominator? Common denominator would be, what's the illa in the first one? Well, we do not want you to benefit from the estate of the person that you killed. You brought this matter forward before its appointed time. Well, the same story in the neighbor matter. One neighbor killed the other because he wanted to benefit from that estate. He wanted to benefit from the bequest and bring it forward before its appointed time. So there's no difference between the two cases. And we will extend the Islamic ruling of the first case where we have a textual proof. We extend that hadith ruling, that hukm, and we apply it on our new scenario, the matter of the wasiyah, bi-ithnillahi ta'ala. So these are three simple examples of qiyas, qiyas illa in action. Walhamdulillah. So ya Abdullah, ya Amat Allah, this was a quick introduction with regards to qiyas. Let's move our discussion now to the definitions, inshaAllah. So number two, definitions. What does qiyas linguistically mean? From the Arabic language point of view, what does qiyas, qasa, yaqisu, qiyas, what does it mean, Jayid? It means taqdeer, taqdeer, to measure something, Jayid, to measure something. And that's why a scale is called a miqyas. A scale is called a miqyas, Jayid. So taqdeer, that which we use to measure, that when you have a scale, you have the miqyas, you are measuring between these two matters, Jayid. Excellent. Qiyas also means to compare, because you are comparing between two matters. We have the issue of the wine, which is prohibited in the Noble Quran. And now we have this jerry drink. So we are comparing between both of them. We are checking whether they have the same common denominator. Excellent, mashallah. So linguistically it means to compare, and it also means to measure. As for the legal technical definition of qiyas, then it is ilhaqu far' bi asl. It is to link up the new case with the original case, fil hukum ash-shar'i, in terms of the Islamic ruling, halal, haram, mustahab, wajib, haram, fard, etc. In terms of the Islamic ruling, athabit lahu lishtirakihima, which has been established for it between both of them, fi illatil hukum, because of the common denominator between both of them. Because there's a common denominator between both of them, now they will share the Islamic ruling. Excellent. So the English definition would be extension of a Sharia ruling from the original case, the original case, to the new case, the far', the jerry drink. Extension of the ruling from the original asl to the far', because they both have the effective cause. They have the same effective cause. What is the effective cause? Effective cause is the illah, what we term as the illah, inshaAllah. Jayid. And so this here is the famous dominant definition of especially qiyas illa. This is the main qiyas, qiyas illa. Even though there are different types of qiyas, as we will see inshaAllah, but this is the qiyas illa inshaAllah. Jameel. So again, bi-ithnillahi ta'ala, we have the asl, we have the original case that this is wine and it is haram as per the Noble Quran. Jameel. Then we have the far', the new case, Jayid. And this is a new drink, call it jerry drink, inshaAllah. Jameel. Now, the illa with regards to our asl, what's the illa? Sometimes we know the illa. Sometimes the illa is mentioned clearly in the Quran. Sometimes the illa is mentioned in the ahadith of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sometimes the scholars are unanimous. There's ijma, consensus that X, Y, Z is the illa. And sometimes we have to go and figure it out. We have to figure out the illa, Jayid. We have to investigate and use ijtihad and use the tools available to scratch the surface and look and find the illa, inshaAllah. Jameel, excellent. So now if we have the illa, and here it's clear that it is iskar, the matter of intoxication. This is why the asl, the first one, the wine, it is prohibited. Jameel. And so what do we then do? We do qiyas, inshaAllah. We measure and we compare between both of them. We measure and compare between both of them, our asl and our far. Excellent. Do they share the same quality, the same quality of iskar, intoxication? This jerry drink, when people drink it, etc., are they intoxicated? If the answer is yes, then the ruling will also be shared. The ruling of haram, which applies to the wine, will also apply to our jerry drink, bi-ithnillahi ta'ala. So we extend the ruling, which is found in our asl, to our far', inshaAllah. Why? Because they share the common cause. Because they share the illa. They share the ratio legis. They share the effective cause, inshaAllah. Excellent, mashaAllah. Jameel. And what if somebody comes along and he says, but you know what? They are different. And if you want to break anyone's qiyas, if you want to destroy anyone's qiyas, what you need to do is, you need to prove that these two things that you are comparing, they are different. If you can do that, then the qiyas falls down, the qiyas breaks down, Jayid. So somebody comes along and says, well, you know what? No. These two drinks, your wine and your jerry drink, they are different. How are they different, brother? He says, well, one comes in a blue bottle and one comes in a green bottle. We say, so what? That there is not a mu'athir difference. That there is not any sort of like effective difference. We are looking at the effective common denominator. As for what color bottle it might be, and this one is a hot drink, and this one is a cold drink, this one here is expensive, this one here is cheap, this here doesn't change anything, right? This doesn't change the ruling of the matter. That's why we state that we are looking for the, not just any cause, but the effective cause, right? The effective cause, the main common denominator, and that is the issue of iskar, the issue of intoxication, right? Excellent. Even though one might be red, one might be blue, one might be cheap, one might be pricey, one might be a hot drink, one might be a cold drink, etc. Jayid, also take note, if we had a text in the Quran or the Sunnah that jerry drinks are haram, or jerry drinks are permissible, or jerry drinks whatever, we have a clear text about jerry drink, would we even need to go and do any type of qiyas? No. If we have a text on the matter, on the subject, then we don't need to do any qiyas. Because we stick to the text, masha'Allah. Excellent. Walhamdulillah. Jameel. So we've covered, bi'ithnillahi ta'ala, the introduction. We've covered the definitions. We now move on, bi'ithnillahi ta'ala, to the types of qiyas, insha'Allah. So now, inshallah, if we look at the text, the author mentions anwa al-qiyas, the types of qiyas, and he divides it into two types, qiyas an tariq nafy al-fariq, qiyas which is via the absence of any effective difference. Again, qiyas via the absence of any effective type of difference, Jayid. So for example, the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam states to us that do not urinate in standing water. Do not urinate in standing water. Somebody comes along and he urinates in a bowl, he urinates in a bottle, and then he pours it into the standing water. And he asks you, well, what's the ruling with regards to this? We say, well, brother, the ruling would be the same as you urinating directly into that standing water. He says, but I didn't do that. The hadith mentions whoever urinates in standing water, this is not allowed, etc., etc. I didn't urinate directly into the standing water. I urinated into this bottle and then I poured it into the water. We say, well, there's no difference between the two actions. At the end of the day, you have polluted the water. At the end of the day, the next person cannot come along and use that water, etc. Jayid. And so this type of qiyas is what is called qiyas an tariq nafy al fariq al mu'athir. Qiyas or deduction via the absence of any effective difference. One might say there is a difference, but there's no effective difference between the two types of actions, Jayid. And this type of qiyas, we find that some ulama stating that they call it qiyas jali, the manifest qiyas. Some say no, in reality it's mafhum muwafaqa. Others call it qiyas fi ma'na al-asl. So different names they give to it, Jayid. Effectively, at the end of the day, it's the same thing, bi'ithnillahi ta'ala. Why did we say that urinating into this bottle and pouring it into the water, standing water, is also prohibited? Because, effectively, there's no difference between those two acts. So this is the first type of qiyas an tariq nafy al-fariq al-mu'athir. Another example. The Noble Quran states, you do not say uff to your parents. Alif, fa, and fa, uff. Don't say uff to your parents. Somebody comes along and he says, well, I didn't say uff to my mother. Rather, I said ah to my mother. She said, do this. I said ah. She said, do that. Take this. Bring this. I said ah. So what's the ruling with regards to this? We say, well, there's no effective difference between uff and both of them are the same, and both of them would be prohibited. Excellent, mashallah. We found that, as was mentioned, some of the usuli scholars, they say that this in reality is not a type of qiyas. This in reality is not a type of qiyas, but it is a type of mafhum muwafaqa, which we've already previously discussed, that where the Quran states, don't say uff. Well, is the same thing. Is the same thing, Jayid. And so it falls within the category of Dalil Lafzi. Dalil Lafzi. And the Hanafis are of this opinion. Whereas others said, no, rather this falls under the category of Qiyas. And so it would be a Dalil Aqli. Jayid, excellent. Also, it must be remembered that the Hanafi scholars call all of this Qiyas that we are discussing, they call it Qiyas Jali. And then they call something which is regarded as Istihsan. We'll discuss later on istihsan, and istihsan they call that qiyas khafi, qiyas khafi, like the hidden type of qiyas. And all of these types of qiyas here, they are regarded as qiyas jali. Excellent. So ala kulli hal, the first category here, as per the author, qiyas an tariq nafi al fariq, fariq, any difference. So we are negating, there's an absence of any effective difference between the two types of actions here. Alhamdulillah. Jameel. This is the first category. Second category, Qiyas an tariq al-jami'. This is the main discussion. The Qiyas, like we discussed the illa, the Qiyas of illa, as we will see. Qiyas an tariq al-jami'. Jami' is this common denominator that we measure both of them. We compare both of them. And we are looking for a common denominator bi-iznillahi ta'ala. So Qiyas an tariq al-jami'. Jami', that which unites both of them, that which links both of them, the common denominator, the effective cause, that there's intoxication here and there's also intoxication here, insha'Allah. And then within this category here, Qiyas an tariq al-jami', we have four types. Jayid, we have four types. We have Qiyas bi'illatil hukum, Qiyas of illa, Qiyas of illa. Then we have Qiyas of dalala, we have Qiyas of shabah, we have the Qiyas of ithbat naqid al-hukum, which is called Qiyas al-aqs. Jayid, we'll discuss each one bi'ithnillahi ta'ala. So the first one, Qiyas illa. So there's the illa. We found out the illa. We've done that qiyas like the jerry drink and the original wine. That's a simple example, bi-ithnillahi ta'ala, and the famous example. So that is qiyas illa, insha'Allah. And that's the dominant type of qiyas. When they define qiyas, generally, the definition is for qiyas illa, insha'Allah. Excellent. The second type of qiyas under qiyas an tariq al-jami' is qiyas bidalil al-illa. Bidalil. So it's not directly linked to the illa, but something which indicates the illa, Jayid, that there's a link between the asl and the far, the original and the new case, and this is something which indicates towards the illa. An example, that the Hanbali scholars, take note, this is an example which works with the Hanbali school of jurisprudence, that the Hanbali scholars, they state, and they make qiyas, bikr al-kabira ala saghira, that the mature adult virgin woman, they make qiyas with regards to her upon the saghira, upon the virgin young girl, Jayid, in that the father, the guardian, the father especially, he can marry off the little girl who's a virgin. And because he can do that, he can also do the same with regards to the adult virgin daughter. The adult virgin daughter. Now, why do they allow this? How do they allow this? Etc. Jayid. Others would say, no, that the adult, you require her permission, etc. etc. The Hanbali scholars state, no. The little girl, we and you, the scholars, you all agree that the little girl there, that her consent means nothing because she doesn't understand these matters here. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, her father married her off to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And so they said, well, the little girl, her consent doesn't really mean anything. And so the same with regards to the adult virgin daughter. How? What's your dalil illa? How do you do this, O Hanbali scholars? They said, well, let's see. The adult virgin daughter, if she is silent, then this indicates that we can marry her off. Yeah, that's fine, no problem. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned that the silence of the woman, etc., in terms of marriage, then this is like her consent. So the Hanbali scholar said, well, if the adult virgin woman, she is silent, we can marry her off. And so similarly, if she says no, we can still marry her off. How? What is your qiyas there? They said, well, subhanAllah, it shows us that if she is silent, her silence could indicate that she is happy. Her silence could indicate that she is not happy and she is against this type of marriage. Jayid, Okay. They say, well, that's an indicator that her consent is غير معتبر. Her consent is not really required. There's no meaning to her consent. Whether she says yes or no or whatever, it really means nothing, Jade. It doesn't carry any legal weight. Why? Because they're saying that maybe she's against the marriage, but she's just quiet. Maybe she's against the marriage, but she is just quiet, Jade. And so, to them, they state, well, this is an indication that her consent is not really required. And thus, one can marry her off, even if she is saying, no, I don't want to get married to this person, etc. The nikah would be valid. So again, the Hanbali scholars, the miqyas of the adult virgin upon the young virgin and common denominator that they look for, etc., they state that the adult, if she is silent, then you can marry her off. And if she is against it, you can also marry her off, because if we were able to marry her off while she was silent, even though inside her heart she was against the marriage, this is an indicator, dalil illa. This is indicating towards the illa, but not direct to the illa. This is an indicator that her statement and consent and happiness or unhappiness, etc., in terms of legalities, it carries no weight. Right? So this is the dalil illa. Another example they give, they state that zihar of the slave, if the slave says to his wife that you are to me like my mother's back, etc., that the slave's zihar will be regarded as valid, and they make qiyas upon the talaq of the slave. That the talaq of the slave is valid, so the zihar of the slave will also be valid. And this talaq being valid indicates that he is liable for what he says. Because he is liable for what he says, then we do that same qiyas upon the matter of zihar. So this is the qiyas bidalil illa. Excellent. The third category, and this is bighalabatil ashba. Ghalabatil ashba. That there's a similarity, and maybe there's an overwhelming similarity towards one side. بِغَلَبَةِ الْأَشْبَهِ. This is called قِيَاس الشَّبَهِ. قِيَاس الشَّبَهِ. And there's two famous definitions with regards to قِيَاس الشَّبَهِ. One of them is that we've got like two options. We have an issue maybe with pre-seminal fluid. Pre-seminal fluid, مَذِي. And we're not sure now, مَذِي, is it similar to urine? And so it will be regarded as najis, or is it similar to mani, which is semen, and thus it would be pure? Which one is it more similar to, Jayid? So, بِغَلَبَةِ الْأَشْبَاءِ. If one states, well, pre-seminal fluid is closer to urine, and thus it would be najis. And what's a similarity? Well, pre-seminal fluid cannot make the woman pregnant, and similarly, urine cannot make one pregnant. And so there's a closer similarity between those two, then they would share the same ruling, in that it would be najis, right? It would be najis, and would require you just to take a fresh wudu. Unlike if one claimed that it was similar to semen. If it is similar to semen, then it would be pure, and it would require you to take a ghusl. Excellent, mashallah, Jamil. So that's one category of one definition of qiyas ashaba, Jayid. And with regards to qiyas ashaba, there's a lot of difference of opinion with regards to this type of qiyas, Jayid. Another example of qiyas ashaba would be that wiping over your socks, you wipe over it one time. Qiyas upon wiping over the head. So wiping, and just like we wipe over the head one time, the similar ruling would apply to wiping over the socks. Another example with regards to a slave, somebody has killed a slave and now there's compensation due. So they talk about what type of compensation. So the slave, is the slave similar to a free individual, free man, and then there's blood money attached as compensation? Or is the slave similar to a type of property, a car, an item, etc., and then it would be according to the value of the slave, right? So which one is the slave closer to? Where's there a greater sense of similarity? So these are some examples of qiyas ash-shaba. In the Noble Quran, we have some batil examples. Ibn al-Qayyim gives some batil examples, some invalid examples, right? Where the criminals try to use this qiyas ash-shaba. Example, إِيَّسْرِقْ فَقَدْ سَرَقَ أَخُلَّهُ مِنْ قَبْلِ. Allah musta'an. The brothers of Yusuf alayhi salam, they said, well, if Binyamin stole, well, similar to his brother before him who also stole. Allah musta'an, that he's stealing now. If he stole, well, his brother before him also stole, and they are brothers, and so they share the same attributes. Mushkila. Another example in the Noble Quran, إِنَّمَا الْبَيْعُ مِثْلُ الرِّبَى. They said that buying and selling business is similar to riba. They are both contracts, and the aim and objective between both of them is to make money. And so business is allowed, and so riba should also be allowed. These are batil examples. Allah musta'an. Then take note, as we mentioned, there's another definition with regards to qiyas al-shabah, Jayid, and it gets a bit intricate, Jayid. We find that shabah are these attributes and the similarity of attributes. When it comes to attributes, the ulama divide them into three categories. Attributes which are munasib, attributes which are tardi, opposite of munasib, jayid. So there's munasib, appropriate, and there's attributes which are tardi, opposite of that. And then we have qiyas al-shabah, we'll discuss, jayid. So an example of munasib, an attribute which is munasib. This is when it is rational, we can understand it, and the Sharia has given credence towards it. Like our example of qiyas illa, the matter of iskar, the matter of intoxication, Jayid. So intoxication, the link between the asl and the far, the original and the new case, the link between them is this matter of the iskar intoxication. And this qiyas illa here, and this being the illa which is iskar intoxication, this is rational, and the Sharia has given credence to this matter. We find that prohibiting a drink which intoxicates you falls under the categories of the hifz of the daruriyat, that the Sharia wants to protect the intellect of an individual. So it is given credence by the Sharia, and it's appropriate, and it is rational, walhamdulillah. Complete opposite to that, an attribute which is completely opposite to that, would be the tardi type of attribute. An example, this is like maybe the sheep. Somebody gives an example of the sheep. And so sheep, mashallah, they have wool on them. So they have like a body covering. They have this wool, and they are halal. And so a dog should also be halal. Why? Because dog also has hair. Dog has some body covering, and it is hair similar to the wool of the sheep, and so both of them should be halal. That doesn't make sense, Jayid. And the Sharia doesn't give any sort of credibility towards this, Jayid. Someone else gives an example, and he states that sheep are halal. Why? Because they have wool on them. Sheep are halal because they have wool on them. So what? So what, Jayid? So this is tardi, that this doesn't make sense rationally, and the Sharia does not give any credence to this. And then the third one is the shabahi, Jayid, the attribute which is similar, Jayid, qiyas shabahi, that here we find that rationally it's not super clear, it's not very clear, but the Sharia has given some credence towards it. The Sharia has given some sort of credibility towards it. Example, that according to the Shafi'is and the Hanbali scholars, that when you want to remove najasa, there's some najasa on your clothes, you have to use water. You must use water. You can't just suffice yourself with Coca-Cola, or you can't suffice yourself with any other type of cleansing. You must use water. Jayid. So the Shafi'is and the Hanbali stating you have to use water. Why? Because for ghusl and our wudu, we have to use water. There we can't use Coca-Cola and orange juice. And so similarly here in this type of tahara, we must use water. So rationally, one might argue, well, technically making wudu, using water, it's to purify yourself. Well, I found something which does a better job than water. Would that be allowed? It wouldn't be allowed, right? According to the Hanbalis and the Shafi'is, no, you have to use water. You must use water. Even though rationally doesn't all tie up, because this new liquid does maybe a better job, but they are stating, no, you have to use water. Why? Because in ghusl and in our wudu, we have to use water there, and so we have to use it here. So the Sharia has given some sort of credibility, some sort of preference to the matter of water. So these are the three types of attributes: the one which is munasib, appropriate; the one which is tardi, completely opposite, doesn't make sense, sharia doesn't give any credence towards it; and the third one which is shabahi, shabahi, that the sharia gives credence towards it but rationally doesn't all tie up. And so this is the second definition of qiyas al-shabahi. Jayid, qiyas al-shabahi ghalabat al-ashbah. Either we're comparing between two matters and we're seeing which one is it closer to, or it's the second that we just discussed here, walhamdulillah. And ya Abdullah, ya Amatullah, the fourth type of qiyas which falls under qiyas an tariq al-jami' is binaqid al-illa li-ithbat naqid al-hukm, which is called qiyas al-aks, qiyas of opposite, qiyas of opposite. Jayid, somebody has intercourse via zina, and so they will earn sin, haram, and they will earn sin. So the opposite now, that intercourse with your wife will earn you ajr. Intercourse with your wife will earn you a reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Excellent. So this is what we term qiyas al-aks. MashaAllah, tabarakallah. So ya Abdullah, ya Amatullah, walhamdulillah, we've discussed an introduction to qiyas. Number two, we've discussed the definition of qiyas. Number three, we've discussed the types of qiyas. And now, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, number four, we move on to the four pillars of qiyas. So we have the asl, the original, we have the far', the new case, we have the common denominator, the illa between both of them, and then we have the hukm, walhamdulillah. These are the four pillars of qiyas. We'll be discussing bi-idhnillahi ta'ala the conditions related to every one of them. An example: somebody wants to make qiyas upon the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He says, look, I want to have 9 wives. Why, brother? He said, I want to follow the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Allah said he is the best example. I want to follow the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So just as it was allowed for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam to have 9 wives, I also want to have 9 wives. We say, brother, this type of qiyas is invalid. He asks, why? Why is it invalid? I want to follow the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. We say, brother, because you are making qiyas upon something which was special and specific to our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. You cannot extend that which was khas for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam onto other individuals. So that qiyas has broken down. It is destroyed. Jameel. So let us discuss bi-idhnillahi ta'ala the pillars of qiyas and the conditions related to every one of those pillars. So the first pillar of the four pillars of qiyas is number one, al-asl. Al-asl, the original case, jayid. It's also called al-maqis alayhi. Al-maqis alayhi, jayid. Excellent. And we'll discuss some of the conditions related to the asl when we talk about the second one, which is the hukm, insha'Allah. So number two is the hukm, the ruling of the asl. The ruling of the asl. Remember, in qiyas, we have the wine, we have the hukm of wine, which is haram. Now we want to extend that ruling upon our jari drink, insha'Allah. Excellent. So we are talking about the hukm, the sharia ruling on the asl, whether it's wajib, mustahab, haram, makruh, halal, haram, etc. That hukm, that ruling. Excellent. With regards to the conditions related to the asl and this hukm, insha'Allah, number one, it must not be something which is mansukh. The ruling must not be something which has been abrogated. Abrogated. If it's abrogated, how can I be making qiyas upon it, Jayid? It must be operative. It must not be abrogated. Example, somebody wants to make qiyas that the individual who falls into zina, then they must be locked up in their houses until they die. Why? They want to make qiyas upon the zaniya, the woman who has fallen into zina. As per the noble Quran in the early years, then the punishment was that she must be kept at home, she must be like under house arrest, Jayid. That was the punishment. It was not that she would be stoned to death or she would be lashed, etc., etc. That ruling came down later. So somebody comes along and says, you know what, I want to make qiyas that every individual who is found guilty of zina, that they must be kept under house arrest at home. What's your qiyas, brother? How are you getting this? Where's your evidence? He says, well, qiyas upon that verse of the noble Quran. We said, but that verse of the Noble Quran is abrogated. You cannot make qiyas upon it. Excellent, masha'Allah. Jayid. The second condition, insha'Allah, is that this hukum, this matter, it must be ma'qul al-ma'na. It must be something that we can comprehend. It must be something which is rational, or that we must be able to understand. It must not be something which is ta'abbudi, something that we cannot understand, Jayid, for rak'as, for Salatul Dhuhr. Why? How? We don't know why. That why Salatul Maghrib, why is it time after sunset? We don't know. This is not something we can rationalize. Well, qiyas is a rational proof. And to do qiyas, you must have a basis which is rational that you can understand. And so via it, you can extract the illah. We have this wine here, and we can understand that it has this quality of intoxication. And so intoxication, we understand what it is, etc. And thus we can make a deduction and an analogy upon that. Jayid. So it must be ma'qul al-ma'na. All the rulings of the Sharia, they have meaning behind them. But some of those meanings we can comprehend, and some meanings we can't comprehend. It's beyond our comprehension, Jayid. If something cannot be understood, if it cannot be rationalized, then we cannot be making qiyas upon it, Jayid. Somebody comes along and he says that, you know what, we are allowed to have four wives because Salatul Dhuhr is four rak'as. What does that got to do with this, Jayid? I mean, you want to make qiyas on a bottle between a bottle and electricity, Jayid? You want to make qiyas on a speaker and a tree? Where's the link? What's the qiyas here, Jayid? Ma fi shay, does not make sense, Jayid. So ala kulli hal, so this matter must be ma'qul al-ma'na bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, Jayid. The third condition with regards to the hukum, that this hukum, it must not be established by another qiyas. It must not be established by another qiyas. Rather, it must be established by a clear evidence and not a qiyasi evidence. Example, somebody says that maize, the crop maize, it is one of the riba items. How, brother? He says, well, I've made qiyas on rice. Okay, and who told you that rice is a riba item? Well, rice, we've got this because we made qiyas upon the dates, or we made qiyas upon the barley, or we made qiyas upon the other items, the wheat, which was mentioned in the hadith. Now this is not going to work. It's not going to work for your maize meal. Why? Because your maize meal is being made qiyas upon something which has been established via qiyas. Jayid, rather what you need to do is, if you want to make qiyas here using this maize meal, then you make qiyas using it directly upon that which is mentioned in the hadith, for example, the dates or the wheat, etc., etc. Jayid, excellent. So this condition states that the hukum, it must not be something which is built upon another qiyas. Or another wording way of saying this would be, the thabit bighayr qiyas. It must be established directly upon the texts of the Quran, the Sunnah, Ijma, etc., etc. We're not doing a double qiyas. Jayid, excellent. And so via this we also learn, if we have a text, we do not resort to qiyas. If we have a textual evidence, then we do not resort to qiyas. Walhamdulillah, excellent, Jayid. So with that, we've covered the first pillar of qiyas, the asl. We've covered the second pillar of qiyas, which is the hukum of the asl. The third pillar of qiyas is the far', the new case, Jayid. And the conditions related to the new case, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, is that there must not be any specific text related to the new case. If we have a clear textual evidence related to the jerry drink in the Quran, in the Sunnah, via Ijma, then we suffice with that. We don't resort to qiyas when we have textual evidence. Walhamdulillah. Jameel. The second condition with regards to the new case is that the illah, the effective cause, the illah must be found in it. The illah of the original. Remember, we said that the original, it has that effective cause of intoxication. Well, we need to find intoxication in the new jerry drink. If there's no intoxication here, then how can we apply and extend the ruling? We can't do that, Jayid. If, for example, the wine makes you tipsy and drunk, whereas jerry drink, kills you. Or for example, Jerry drink makes you lose your memory. Well, this qiyas ma'al fariq, there's a difference here. This qiyas, this analogy doesn't stand. Its foundations are flawed. It breaks apart. Jayid, excellent. We call that qiyas ma'al fariq, that there is a difference. We find, for example, according to majority of the ulama, they differed with the Hanafi scholars. Hanafi scholars said that, well, a woman, she can conclude the marriage contract without the involvement of any wali. She does not require a wali. It's not a must. Why, O Hanafis, why do you say that? We have evidence that Hanafi state, no. Well, you see, that business transaction, can she go in the market and sell this bottle? Can she go in the market and buy a shoe? Can she go in the market and rent out her house? Yes, she can. Those are contracts. So the Hanafi scholar said, well, we extend the ruling of those contracts. They are permissible for her to contract them. And so we apply it upon a marriage contract. It's also a contract. And so the same ruling should apply. The majority of the ulama said, no. This is what we term qiyas ma'al fariq. Qiyas, when there's a difference, so it can't stand. That those other type of contracts, business and hire and sale, etc., they are different from a marriage contract. Marriage contract is here when we have two families coming together. The father of the bride, the mother of the bride, the family, they have a vested interest in this marriage, etc., etc. So there's a difference between these two types of contracts. Jayid, excellent. So that's the second condition related to the new case, related to the far'. And the third condition related to the far' would be that while the ruling of the asl must also apply to the far' equally. So if the ruling of the asl is that the asl, the wine, it is haram, then jerry drink must also be haram. We can't come along and say, well, the wine is haram and now the jerry drink, it also intoxicates, but it is makruh. No, it can't work. It must also share the same hukum because they are effectively the same. And so the extension of the ruling must apply here and it will also be regarded as haram. Jameel. And so we've covered the first pillar of qiyas, the second pillar of qiyas, and the third pillar of qiyas. MashaAllah. The asl, the hukum of the asl, and the far'. Now we move on to the most important pillar of qiyas, and that is the illa, the effective cause, the ratio legis. Others might call it the jami', the common denominator between two matters. Manat al-hukum, the cause of the ruling, the cause of the hukum. Nonetheless, it's the most important requirement in any qiyas, the illa. If we don't have the illa, then we can't be joining between our asl and our far', between our original case and our new case, insha'Allah. Jameel, excellent. With regards to the conditions related to the illah, let's see. Number one, that it must be muta'addiya. It must be muta'addiya, which means that this illah, it must be extendable. It must be transferable to other cases. It must not be something confined to the original and it's unable to be transferred to any other new case, Jayid. And thus, illa al-qasira, this would not be allowed. The illa which is like an exception or it's restricted upon the original, then this won't really work as a proper illa in qiyas, insha'Allah. Jayid. Like for example, the khasa'is of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Somebody wants to make qiyas upon the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. I'm also allowed to get married to 9 women, etc., etc. Not allowed. Why? Because that illa, etc., and that matter, that hukum, etc., it is upon the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam and restricted to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Excellent. So that's the first condition, muta'addiya. It must be muta'addiya. Number two, لا ترجع على الأصل بالإبطال. That this illa, it must not like you've found this illa, which you think is the illa, but this illa, it comes back to the original and it breaks the original and destroys the original, Jayid. For example, between the Hanbalis and the Hanafis, Jayid, there's the mas'ala in zakah, that when you have 40 sheep, then you need to give one of them away as zakah. Jayid, excellent. And that's the opinion of majority of the ulama. The Hanafi scholars state, what you can do is, you can pay the value of that sheep. You don't need to give the sheep in zakah, but rather you can pay the value of that sheep. Why, O Hanafis? They said because the illah is that we want to satisfy the needs of the poor. And if you satisfy the needs of the poor via cash, then alhamdulillah, you have satisfied the illah, and thus it would be permissible. Now, majority of the ulama said, no. Who told you that this is the illah? We differ with you. We don't agree with you that that day is the only illah. Jayid, there might be other reasons why you have to give one sheep away as per the zakah. Jayid, the poor individual could benefit from that sheep in many other ways. Then one can benefit via cash. So, majority of the ulama said, no. This illah here, it's coming back and it's like putting an end to the text. It's like destroying the text. So this would not be allowed according to them. The third condition, لا تخالف نصا ولا إجماعا. This illah that you have derived or deduced, it must not be in conflict with the text of the Quran or the Sunnah or Ijma, consensus of the scholars. Right? Otherwise, it is null and void. And it is a type of qiyas which will be fasid, which will be invalid. Right? An example they give of this, somebody comes along and says, you know what? The dog's saliva, it is pure. Why, brother? He says, because the cat's saliva is pure, and the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam said with regards to the cat's saliva, it's tahir, in that it's always around you, it's like a domestic animal, it's making tawaf around you, it's in the house, it's in your car, etc. And so for this reason, it is tahir. Well, similarly, the dog, it's in your house, and it's here, and it's there, and it's everywhere, so it must also follow the same hukum. We say, no. Cannot be allowed. Why? Because we have specific text with regards to the dog's saliva. Excellent. So here, this type of qiyas that this individual did, it goes against a text, and thus it would be invalid. Somebody comes along and says, you know what? A man and a woman, they're equal partners in a marriage, and so that they should both have the right to divorce. That talaq should be in the hand of the man, and it should also be in the hand of the woman. We say, no. This type of qiyas here, it is in conflict with the texts of the Quran and the Sunnah and Ijma. Jameel. Another example. Somebody comes along and says, you know what? That the son and the daughter, they are both the children of the father, and the father passes away. They should inherit equally. We say, no. This is in conflict with the texts of the noble Quran. Walhamdulillah. Jameel. There's that famous story of an Andalusian faqih jurist that one of the rulers, because of his desire, in the month of Ramadan, he was having intercourse, and it was easy for him to set free a slave. So every time he had intercourse, he set free a slave, and then another day, set free a slave. And he's got so many slaves, so it was easy for him, Jayib. So it is said that one of the fuqaha said to him, you know what, there's no setting free of slaves for you. Rather, for you, you need to fast 60 days. Every time you do this, you need to fast 60 days. Why? He says, because these penalties are there to prevent you from falling into this error, into this sin, into this violation of the fast. And so obviously then the guy didn't violate the fast. So the ulama used this as an example. Was this a good thing? Was this a bad thing? We say, no. Technically, the fatwa of this scholar is in conflict with the Quran and the Sunnah. Why? Because the Quran, the Sunnah have stipulated various penalties. Number one, you set free a slave. Number two, if you can't. So there's tartib, there's order. If you can't, then you go to number two, which is that you fast 60 days consecutively. And if you can't do that, then you go to the third, which is you need to feed 60 poor Muslims. Now, this fatwa of this jurist was that, no, for you, number one is not working, right? It's too easy for you, so we go to number two. No. Even though one might argue, but this is a good thing, at least it's preventing him from violating the fast, etc. It's in conflict with the Quran and the Sunnah. And how do you know? The Sharia wants, for example, that the penalty should be in this tartib so that we have less slaves around, and so more slaves are freed. Walhamdulillah. Jameel. So that's the third condition, must not be in conflict with a text of the Quran or the Sunnah. Jameel. Number four, al-zuhur. Al-zuhur, that it must be something which is is apparent, perceptible. It must be something which is like manifest and evident. It must not be something which is hidden. This illah must not be something which is hidden and we're unable to ascertain it. It must be something perceptible and should be perceived by the senses. Jayid. So, for example, like intoxication, iskar, intoxication. This is the illah for the prohibition with regards to consumption of wine. This is something clear. It's apparent. Walhamdulillah. Unlike somebody's intention. Intention is something which is hidden. So the intention can't be the illah. Jayid. In a business transaction, your agreement to this transaction, this is something inside of you. This is something which is not apparent. That's why we work with what? We work with ijab and qabool. We work with the offer and the acceptance. And we base our transaction upon the offer and the acceptance and not upon the agreement in your heart, because that's not something that we can perceive. Jayid, excellent. As for hikmah, we're talking about illah. As for hikmah and wisdom, then this is something which is much more hidden. Jayid, that's why we base our ahkam upon the illah and not upon the hikmah. Hikmah, we might know it, we might not know it, we might guess it, we might be wrong, we might be right, etc., etc. Jamil. So this matter of the illah, it must be something which is has the quality of zuhur and wasfan zahiran la khafiyan. The next condition, indibat, that it must be something which is constant. It must be something which is stable, right? It must be a constant attribute, a stable attribute. It must not differ based upon individual, based upon time, based upon circumstances, right? Like, for example, when we are traveling, we are allowed to shorten our prayers and join between the two prayers, Zuhr and Asr, Maghrib and Isha. Now, what's the illah? We say that the illah is safar, travel. That's the illah. The illah, the effective cause is travel. If you're a traveler, then you can join and you can shorten. Somebody comes along and says, no, rather the illah is mashaqqa and difficulty. Now, difficulty is something that we can't really measure. It's not something which is constant. It's not a constant, stable attribute. For Muhammad, it might be a difficult travel. For Ahmed, it's not a difficult travel. He's traveling first class. The other one is in economy. One's in difficulty. One's not in difficulty. Somebody can bear much more than the next individual. Somebody says, well, 50-kilometer travel for me is difficult. Somebody else, 5-kilometer travel for him is difficult. And so this is not something that we can measure, that we can regulate. It's not a constant, stable attribute, right? And that's why we cannot link our hukum, our ahkam, our rulings to this matter of mashaqqa. It can't be the illah. Rather, the illah is safar. You're a musafir, whether it's first class, whether it's last class, whether it's X class, whatever. As long as you are a musafir, then the rules and the regulations related to the traveler apply to you. Walhamdulillah, jameel, mashaAllah, right? The next condition is ittirad, consistency, that the ruling should apply whenever we find this illah. If the illah is present, then the ruling should be present. The illah is not present, well, the ruling will not be present, Jayid. Like, for example, somebody argues and says that the illah of qisas, an eye for an eye, a head for a head, Jayid. So, the illah of qisas is that you've killed someone. Now, this type of illah is not consistent. This won't work. This illah is incorrect. Why? Because accidental killing, your life will not be taken. You've killed somebody, but it was accidental killing. Your life will not be taken. So there's no consistency here. But if somebody said that the illah is unlawful killing of another, then this type of illah would be consistent. So whenever there is unlawful killing of another, then the qisas would apply. Then yes, this here it is consistent. Walhamdulillah. And then there's another condition, which is that it must be munasib. The illah, it must be munasib. It must be appropriate. And we've touched upon this matter when we spoke about the matter of the munasib. And then the opposite, completely opposite, it doesn't make sense. And the sharia has not given any credibility towards it, and we talked about qiyas ash-shaba, insha'Allah, jameel. Ya Abdullah, ya Amat Allah, we've covered the four pillars of qiyas: the asl, the hukm, the far', which is the new case, and then lastly, the illah, which is the most important matter. Our next discussion number 5, relates to Well, masalik al-illa. How to identify the illa? How do we figure out the illa? How can I really deduce what the illa is? Also called in Arabic that masalik al-ta'lil. Masalik al-ta'lil. Jayyid. Take note that with regards to masalik al-illa, discovering the illa, there are three ways we can do this. Number one, ijma, consensus. So there's consensus, walhamdulillah, that this is the illa. Our job is easy, mashallah. Number two, nas, text of the Quran or the Sunnah. So the Quran or the Sunnah clearly mentions that this is the reason. This is the illa. It's either explicit or implicit or indicates towards it, inshallah. So number one, ijma. Number two, via the nas, via the texts of the Quran and the Sunnah. And then the third one, and there's a bit of a discussion here, inshallah, this is istinbat. Istinbat, where we deduce, we have to make ijtihad, etc., and we have to discover and scratch below the surface to figure out the illa, inshallah. Jameel. So let's talk about the first one, inshallah, that masalik al-illa, modes of discovering the illa. Number one, ijma. An example, la yaqdi al-qadi wa huwa ghadban, that the qadi must not judge while he is angry. While he's angry, Jayid. So now what's the illa? He's angry now, and maybe he might decide on the case, and his anger got the better of him, and so his judgment was skewed, Jayid. So this is the illa. We want to prevent any error in his judgment, that his mind is occupied, he's too angry, his temperament, his pressure has gone high, etc. This is not good for a fair judgment, Jameel. So now, we have a new case that the judge is very, very hungry, or the judge is very, very sad, the judge is very, very irritated, the judge is very sick, right? So these examples here, when he's very irritated, when he's very sick, when he's very hungry, he's not thinking properly, he's not thinking properly, and thus it would be similar to when he is angry, and thus his judgment, if he's very irritated, if he's very hungry, will be invalid. He should not be judging when he's in a condition like that. Excellent. So this is an example where the illa was proven via ijma, via consensus of the scholars when he's angry. What's the illa? What's the illa? Tashwish al-dhihn. The illa is that he's not going to be thinking properly, that he's not in the proper frame of mind. He's not in the proper frame of mind. And so, if he's not in the proper frame of mind because of hunger, because of irritation, because of illness, then his judgment will also not be allowed. So ya Abdullah, ya Amatullah, we've covered the masalik al-illa via the ijma, via the consensus. The second one is via the nas, via the text of the Quran and the Sunnah. And this can be subdivided into sarih, into zahir, into al-ima wa tanbih. Sarih, explicit. Zahir, that which is apparent. And al-ima wa tanbih, al-ishara, indication towards it. Let's discuss bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. So in terms of sarih, so the texts of the Quran and the Sunnah are explicit that X, Y, and Z is the illa. Let's see. The first one given is that, for example, min ajli, because of XYZ, because of such and such. Innama ju'ila al-isti'dhan min ajli al-basar, that you need to seek permission before you enter into a room, before you enter into a house, because of the basar, because of the sight. You might see something which is not allowed, you might see something that people don't like you to see, etc. And so because you might see something which is incorrect, wrong, impermissible for you to look at, etc., because of that, you need to seek permission, you need to get isti'dhan. Excellent. So min ajli, that's the important one here. Min ajli indicates because of X, Y, and Z. Another one which is explicit in the text is K, because of. فَلَمَّا قَضَى زَيْدٌ مِّنْهَا وَطَرًا زَوَّجْنَاكَهَا لِكَيْ لَا يَكُونَ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ حَرَجٌ. Jayid, with regards to Zayd, remember Zayd is the only Sahabi mentioned in the Noble Quran by name. So after Zayd was done with his wife Zainab, زوجناك zawajnaka, we married her to you. She got married to who? To the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Zawajnaka likay la yakuna ala almu'minina haraj, so that there wouldn't be any difficulty, any haraj upon the believers, that nobody should come along and say, well, you know what, this woman was married to my stepson, and so I cannot get married to her after my stepson divorced her or after my stepson had passed away. No, you can marry her because there's no blood relationship here. Jayid, excellent. So, likay, because of, so that there wouldn't be any difficulty upon the believers, we got Zainab married to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The third one, fa inna, they indicate towards the illa explicitly. Jayid. Innaha laysat binajis. Innaha min at-tawafin alaykum. That she is not najis. The cat is not najis. The saliva of the cat, etc., is not najis. Rather, she is an animal that makes tawaf around you. She moves around you, etc., etc. Why is she not najis? فَإِنَّهَا مِنَ الطَّوَافِينَ, because she's making tawaf and living with you and jumping on your bed and jumping here and jumping there, etc. Because of that reason, she is not najis. She is not najis. Jayid, excellent. We also find another example. لَا تُمِسُّهُ بِطِيبٍ فَإِنَّهُ يُبَعَثُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ مُلَبِّيًا. That do not put any perfume upon this muhrim, the person in the state of ihram who passed away while in the state of ihram. Don't put any perfume on his body because he will be resurrected on يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ in a state of talbiyah. So don't do this. Why? Because he will be resurrected on the day of Qiyamah in a state of ihram. So that inna or fa inna, explicit with regards to the illiyah, with regards to the effective cause. Why are we not putting perfume? Because he will be resurrected yawm al-qiyamah in a state of ihram, in the state of talbiyah. The next one, maf'ul li'ajlihi. Maf'ul li'ajlihi is another explicit indication of the illa. Allah mentions in the Noble Quran, la'amsaktum khashyatal infaq. La'amsaktum khashyatal infaq. That you would hold back and not spend because you are afraid. Because you are afraid of spending. خشيت الإنفاق. Another one. وَهُمْ أُلُوفٌ حَذَرَ الْمَوْتِ. That they had gone out in their thousands because of the fear of death. Because of the fear of death. حَذَرَ الْمَوْتِ. Jameel. So these are examples of the Nas, the text of the Quran and Sunnah, showing us clearly the illah. And within the text, we have the discussion of the explicit, which we've already covered. Now we move on to the zahir. It's not super explicit, but it is zahir. It's apparent, it's manifest. And here we have the lam and we have the ba. We have the lam and the ba, insha'Allah, Jaheed. And then within the category of the lam, we have where it is manifest and where it is muqaddara. Let's see. أَقِمِ الصَّلَاةَ لِدُلُوكِ الشَّمْسِ. Establish the prayer, perform the prayer when the sun declines, after sunset. So you perform your prayer when? After sunset, Jayid. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. We have created man and ins and jinn, etc. لِيَعْبُدُونَ, so that they worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That lamb is indicating the illah. The lamb is indicating our reason. Excellent. Then where it is مُقَدَّرَ, for example, عُتُلِّمْ بَعْدَ ذَلِكَ زَنِيمٌ. عُتُلِّمْ بَعْدَ ذَلِكَ زَنِيمٌ. That this person is like a criminal, because he feels that he's got money and he's got wealth. He's got money, he's got wealth, he's got children. عُتُلِّمْ بَعْدَ ذَلِكَ زَنِيمٌ. أَنْ كَانَ ذَا مَالِي وَبَنِينَ. أَنْ كَانَ ذَا مَالِي وَبَنِينَ. أَنْ كَانَ ذَا مَالِي وَبَنِينَ. Because he feels he's got money and he's got wealth and he's got children, etc., etc. لِأَنْ. So that lam, لِأَنْ, the lam of ta'aleel, it's muqaddara, it's not manifest, it's not clear, but it's understood. Jameel. Then there's the zahir category with the ba. جَزَاءً بِمَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ. This is their recompense and their reward and what they get because of what they have earned. Because of what they've earned. This ba of like sababiyya, ba of sababiyya, جَيِّد. ذَلِكَ جَزَيْنَاهُمْ بِبَغْيِهِمْ. This is their reward because of their criminality, because of their baghihim. ذَلِكَ جَزَيْنَاهُمْ بِبَغْيِهِمْ Because of their rebellion. Because of their rebellion, this is the recompense and the reward and what they get, what they've earned because of their rebellion. They've earned this because of their rebellion. The ba indicates to us the reason. Excellent. So we've covered in terms of the text, where the text of the Quran and Sunnah show us and give to us the illa, the reason. And them giving us this illa, the reason, could be explicit, could be manifest, and we've covered that, walhamdulillah. And the third category within the text would be ishara, tanbih, ima, where it alludes to the reason. It alludes to the reason, right? Somebody says, for example, put on the air conditioner, it is hot today. Put on the air conditioner, it is hot today. I mean, the aqil, the person who's intelligent, understands that put on the air conditioner because it's hot today. Two separate sentences, but the individual understands that because it's so hot today, that's why you want me to put on the air conditioner. That there's a link between those two sentences. Jamil. So this is ima wa tanbih. The first one, bil fa, with a fa. Qul huwa adha, fa'tazilu an-nisaa fil mahid. That your wife, she's in menstruation right now. Fa'tazilu an-nisaa. Qul huwa adha, fa'tazilu an-nisaa. That fa. Because there is adab, because there is harm, because of that, then stay away from the wife. Stay away, meaning that there's no full intercourse, intimacy between husband and wife. So the fa indicates that, Jaid, indicates the reason. As-sariqu was-sariqatu faqta'u aydiyahuma, the male and the female thieves, cut off their hand. Why cut off their hand? Because they are thieves. Because they are thieves, Jayid. Also, بِصِيغَةِ الْجَزَاءِ وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا Whoever fears Allah, whoever has the taqwa of Allah, Allah will make a way out for this person. Why is Allah making a way out for this person? Because they feared Allah. Because they had the quality of taqwa. Jamil. اِقْدِرَانْ الْحُكُمْ بِوَصْفْ المناسب That the hukm, it has an attribute there which is appropriate. إِنَّ الْأَبْرَارَ لَفِي نَعِيمٍ That the righteous people will have na'im. They will be in bounties and enjoyment, etc. وَإِنَّ الْفُجَّارَ لَفِي جَحِيمٍ And then the criminals, they will be in the hellfire, Jayid. So here we have two separate categories. إِنَّ الْأَبْرَارَ لَفِي نَعِيمٍ So they are in enjoyment. Why? Because they are from the abrar. Because they did bir. Because they did good. So they are in the category of those who are enjoying themselves. وَإِنَّ الْفُجَّارَ لَفِي جَحِيمٍ These guys are in the hellfire. Why? Because they were fujar. Because they were criminals. Allahu musta'an. And the fourth one. بِالْجَوَابَ عَلَى السُّؤَالِ تُضَمِّنْ أَوْصَافًا That an answer to a question which has, which includes certain attributes. Jayid. So the man came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the Bedouin, and him being a Bedouin, that's an attribute, number one. And then he comes to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, says, I've destroyed myself. I've slept with my wife during the day of Ramadan. Jayid. And so the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam then said to him, set free a slave. Now set free a slave, is it because he's a Bedouin? Is it because he says that he's destroyed himself? Is it because he slept with his wife and not any other woman? Or is it because he fell into this violation, which is intercourse while fasting the day of Ramadan? The violation, he was fasting the day of Ramadan, and himself and his wife, they had intercourse, full intimacy. That day is the reason, that day is the illah. So the answer of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is linked to that matter. And not linked to him being a Bedouin or anything else, or that he came in a state of worry and in a state of his frame of mind was upside down and worried and perturbed, etc. Not because of that, but rather because of this matter here, violating the fast with intercourse. That's why the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, set free a slave. Jamil. And then the last one here, in idam al-fa'ida in humila ala ghair al-ta'lil. That there wouldn't be any benefit, there wouldn't be any fa'ida if we don't regard this here as the illa. If we don't regard it as the reason, then what's the point in saying that? Example, Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he asked the sahaba, ayunqas idha yabus? that with regards to the dates, etc., that would they shrink? Would they shrink when they get dry? This is that mas'ala of riba, etc. So would it decrease in its size, in its volume, when it dries up? And they said, yes. Prophet ﷺ said, فَلَا إِذَنْ. Then no. Then this transaction would not be permissible. So فَلَا إِذَنْ is obviously linked to what was mentioned previously. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. Jayid. And so this is not explicit, but rather this is an indication. Jameel. So remember, ya Abdullah, ya Amat Allah, many of the ulama state that Qiyas is the most difficult chapter in Usul al-Fiqh. And then within Qiyas, the chapter and the section related to the illa is the most difficult and it's the most important. We discussed here the four pillars of Qiyas: the asl, the hukm of the asl, the far, and then the illa. And then after discussing the illa, we spoke about what? We spoke about masalik al illa, how to identify the illa, insha'Allah. There are three ways we identify the illa. Number one, via consensus of the scholars. Number two, via the texts of the Quran and the Sunnah. And these texts could be zahir, they could be manifest, or they could be sarih, explicit, or they could be an indication towards the illa, insha'Allah. So we've covered those, walhamdulillah. We've got the last maslak of the illa left, and that is al-istinbat, where we deduce the illa, where we deduce the illa, insha'Allah. Ya Abdullah, ya Amat Allah, we now move on to masalik al-illa al-mustanbata, insha'Allah. And this is the last of the difficult matters, insha'Allah. Jayid, excellent. So masalik al-illa al-mustanbata, there are four categories, four types, four ways that we can extract and deduce the illa, four tools that we use, insha'Allah. The first one being sabr wa taqseem. Sabr means to make an ikhtibar, to do a test, jayid. And taqseem is like narrowing down the illa options. We're using sabr and taqseem, we're testing, and we are narrowing down the illa options, insha'Allah. Like, for example, when it came to alcohol. So there's many attributes with regards to alcohol. Maybe this wine, it's red, maybe it comes in a bottle, maybe it's expensive, maybe it's in liquid form, jayid. It has a certain smell to it, a certain odor to it, maybe it's made out of grapes. And it also has the attribute of intoxication. Now, which attribute from all of these attributes here is the correct illa? So we use sabr and taqseem, and we do a test, and we check out whether which one makes sense, which one is appropriate, which one is munasib, etc. Jayid. So that's the way of sabr and taqseem, insha'Allah. Another example, we have the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with regards to certain ribawi items, that riba flows within these items. So you have the date, you have the wheat, you have the barley, etc. So when the ulama looked at these six mentioned in the hadith, they try to extract now, what's the common denominator? What's the reasoning behind these? What's the illa behind these? If we can know the illa, then we can extend this illa and transfer this illa to other items, right? So some of them looked at them and said, well, these items like the sha'ir and the milh and the salt, etc., they are items that we sell via volume. Jayid, they are makil items. They are sold in volume, so they are makil items. Others said, no. Rather, they are sold via weight, and so that's the common denominator. Others said, no, but rather they are items that we eat. So they are like food stuff, food items, right? Others said, no, but rather they can be stored for a long period of time, that they are like grain, they can be stored for like years on end. So it's muddakhar, it's because of that reason. Point is that in sabr and taqseem, we do testing, and we try to isolate the illa, and try to find the correct illa, insha'Allah. Jayid, excellent. So this is called sabr and taqseem. Then another method is al-munasaba and al-ikhala. And Imam Ghazali has a work on this topic here. Imam Ghazali has a book on this topic. Munasaba, we've discussed this, and it must be appropriate. That it must be appropriate, it must be rational, and the Sharia must give credence to it. Remember that fatwa of the Andalusian scholar he gave to the ruler, that for you, you don't set free a slave. Rather, you need to fast 60 days. So rationally this makes sense, but does the Sharia give credence to that type of fatwa? Answer is no. Sharia has set out that number one, you need to set free a slave. If you can't do that, then you go to number two. Then you go to number two, which is fasting 60 days. And if you can't do number two, then you move on to number three, which is feed 60 poor Muslims. So the matter of munasabah must be appropriate. And appropriate with me must be rational, and the Sharia must give credence towards it. Jayid. And the third way that we deduce and we pull out and we extract the illah is via the shaba, the similarities. And we've already touched upon this matter here. We saw qiyas as shaba, and there are two types. One is, we have an item, is it similar to A or is it similar to B? Which is it closer to? That's one definition of qiyas as shaba. And the other one is where, that maybe rationally it doesn't all tie up, but the Sharia has given some credence towards it. Like the mas'ala of using water, according to the Hanbalis and the Shafi'is, that you have to use water to make anything pure, to cleanse anything. Jayid, there's some najasa here. You want to wash it, remove the najasa for tahara, you have to use water. Jayid, why? They make qiyas on wudu and ghusl. Jayid, ala kulli hal. So that's that matter there, bi'ithnillahi ta'ala. And there's a lot of debate with regards to this shabah matter. And the fourth one is the waran or tard or al-aks, opposite. Jayid, or al-aks. That there must be consistency in this matter, for as long as we find the illah, then we must have the hukm. And we've already covered some examples of this. Walhamdulillah. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amatullah, before we move on to our final discussion, whether qiyas is a proof or not, majority versus the Zahiri scholars, before that discussion, some terms that you need to be aware of, bi'ithnillahi ta'ala, when it comes to the discussion related to qiyas. Number one, takhrij al-manat. Manat is the illa. Manat is the illa. Takhrij al-manat means like the extracting of the illa. Extracting of the illa. So, bahth ani al-illa al-mustanbata. That we are searching, we are trying to deduce the illa. It's not via ijma', it's not via the nas, but rather we are trying to deduce it, insha'Allah. We are searching, we are looking for it, insha'Allah. Jayid. And how do we do that? For example, via sabr and taqseem, etc., etc. So, this term here, the تخريج المناط تخريج المناط. The second term, تنقيح المناط. تنقيح. تنقيح means like to cleanse something, to purify something, to isolate the illah. So we've got various options. We want to isolate the correct illah, insha'Allah. Jayid. We want to check which illah is the appropriate illah. We want to test the different attributes and find the correct illah, insha'Allah. Jayid. Remember, the Bedouin came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he was perturbed, and he was like, oh, I've destroyed myself, etc., etc. Him being a Bedouin, him coming to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam in a perturbed state, etc., that doesn't really have any bearing on the matter. But rather, it is because of the violation, because of the intercourse with his wife while he was fasting in this day of Ramadan. That's why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam says to him that you need to set free a slave. Excellent. So this is now tanqih al-manat. We are isolating the attributes and we are honing in on the correct illah. Excellent. Now, even here, subhanAllah, we find that the ulama, they might differ in their analysis of the tanqih al-manat. Example, one group of scholars might say, well, the reason the Prophet ﷺ said that he needs to set free a slave is because he had sex with his wife while fasting in the month of Ramadan. Yes, makes sense. Excellent. Beautiful illa, walhamdulillah. Another group of scholars would say that no, we look at it and we state that the Prophet ﷺ told him to set free a slave, not specifically because of intercourse, because of sex, but rather because he broke his fast. Because he broke his fast intentionally in the month of Ramadan. That's our tanqih, that's our isolation of the illah. And there's going to be fruits of this, subhanAllah, Jayid. So according to the Shafi'is and the Hanbalis, if you had sex with your wife, if there was intercourse, then the kafara of setting free a slave. And if you can't, then you move on to the second one, which is fasting 60 days. And if you can't, you move on to 60 poor Muslims that you need to feed. It's only related to if you had intercourse. But the Hanafis and the Malikis, they said, no, he broke his fast intentionally. So if you eat some food and you break your fast intentionally, then the same kafara will also apply. Ah, subhanAllah. So they made tanqih of the manat. They made isolation and purification of the illa, but they deferred at the end of the day in their analysis. And because of that deferring, you have different furu and you have different rulings. Jayid. And then the last term you should be aware of, insha'Allah, is tahqiq al-manat. Tahqiq al-manat. This is where we make sure that the illa is found in the new case. That the illa is found in the far' walhamdulillah. MashaAllah, tabarakallah. Ya Abdullah, ya Amatullah, if you've understood these matters, then walhamdulillah, khair and barakah to you. MashaAllah, tabarakallah. So ya Abdullah, ya Amatullah, we move on to number 6, hujjiyatul qiyas. Is qiyas a proof or is it not a proof? In reality, the authors of Ta'heel al-Fiqhi, this usul fiqh text, they've not discussed this mas'ala, but it's important, so we will discuss it insha'Allah, remember, and then we will move on to Imam Al-Haramain's Al-Waraqat. We've already discussed most matters, and so we will speed through Al-Waraqat insha'Allah. Hujjiyatul Qiyas, majority of the ulama, majority of the scholars, they have accepted Qiyas as a proof, Jayid. Even the Zaydi Shia, they accept Qiyas as a proof. Who differed? The Zahiri scholars. The Zahiri scholars, Ibn Hazm being the famous one of them, Jayid. So they said, no qiyas accepted at all, Jayid. We also had some of the Mu'tazila and some of the Shia. They also rejected qiyas. And we will discuss why, bi-ithnillahi ta'ala. As for the proofs of majority of the scholars, they said, number one, ijma' of the Sahaba. The Sahaba, they've collectively agreed that Qiyas is a proof. And they used Qiyas themselves, Jayid. We find that they made Qiyas with regards to Zakah on Salah. That the one who does not pay the Zakah is similar to the one who does not pray. And both of them are pillars of Al-Islam. They also made Qiyas with regards to Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala an, and him being in charge of them after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They said, well, Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam chose him to be our leader in the deen, leader of Salah, imam for the Salah. So if he is good enough for that, then he will be good enough for our dunya too. Excellent. We also find the hadith of Mu'adh radiallahu ta'ala an. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sending him to Yemen. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked him, how will you judge? He says, I will judge by the book of Allah, and if it's not there, by the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And if you don't find it there, then I would make my ijtihad. Then I would do my own ijtihad. And technically, qiyas is a form of ijtihad. Qiyas is a form of ijtihad. Excellent. Then verses of the noble Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls us to ponder and to think, etc. فَاعْتَبِرُوا يَا أُولِي الْأَبْصَارِ. O people of understanding, people of sight, ponder and think. Consider, O those of you who have intellect, those of you who have eyes, etc. Compare matters, consider, ponder. Jayid. Somebody had passed away and they left behind some unfulfilled fasts. And so somebody came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said that should I do qada on behalf of my mother? Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, well, if they left behind some debts, would you pay those debts? Said yes. Well, the debt owed to Allah has more right to be paid. So yes, fast those fasts, Jayid. And so here the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam employed qiyas, Jayid. We also find that technically, if we didn't have the tool of qiyas, then we would be left without answers to many questions, because the texts of the Quran and the Sunnah, they are limited. And so we need this tool of qiyas so that we can extrapolate, so that we can extend the rulings from these texts onto new circumstances and cases. Walhamdulillah. Jameel. Now, what did the Zahiri scholars, and especially Ibn Hazm al-Zahiri al-Andalusi, he was very, very vocal with regards to his rejection of qiyas, right? They said that, well, we don't look into all of these ma'ani and the meanings and all of these matters and ilal and reasons. Rather, we go with the explicit text of the Quran and the Sunnah. And some of the proofs, they said, well, we have narrations from the Sahaba and others, dispraise of Qiyas, that they were dispraising Qiyas, right? We say, we have no issue with that. We say that was, when they dispraised Qiyas, that was Qiyas from Juhala, Qiyas from people who were not qualified, Jade, and the incorrect type of Qiyas. Incorrect type of Qiyas, we all agree it will be rejected, Jade. Then the Zahiris, they also said, well, to accept and to acknowledge Qiyas, the Zahiri state, would be like to claim and to accept that the Quran and the Sunnah doesn't cover all our circumstances and doesn't provide us the proper answers for all matters. Our response to them would be that we are not claiming that qiyas is an independent proof. No, no, no. Rather, qiyas is an extension of the text. We're not coming with something brand new here, but rather they are the texts and we are extending the ruling of the texts upon new circumstances. So it's not like we are rejecting the text of the Quran and the Sunnah, but rather what we're doing is we are extending the ruling of the texts upon new circumstances where the texts are silent upon those situations. Excellent. So these are some of the evidences of majority of the ulama and some of the arguments of the Zahiri scholars, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Majority of the ulama accept qiyas. In fact, many of the scholars discounted and rejected the Zahiri scholars when it came to any usuli discussion or fiqhi discussion because the Zahiris rejected qiyas. So you would find that many ulama would state that such and such mas'ala, there is consensus. But if you look into the matter, the Zahiris differed. Well, those ulama said, we don't care whether the Zahiris differed, because the Zahiris have rejected qiyas. And to reject qiyas, if you reject qiyas, then you don't count as an alim, you don't count as a scholar. So we don't even hold your opinion in any consideration whatsoever. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. Ya Abdullah, ya Amat Allah, let's go through the discussion related to qiyas from Al-Waraqat before we end off this seventh halaqa. To remember, Imam Al-Haramain, Mecca and Medina. But he was from Nisabur. He was from Juwain, Nisabur, the areas of Khurasan. What was he doing in Mecca and Medina? During Imam Al-Haramain's time, there were some issues. The Seljuk wazir was somebody by the name of Kundari. And there's the famous fitna of Kundari. He was a Hanafi and he was Mu'tazili. Imam Al-Juwayni is Shafi'i and Ash'ari. And the Shafi'is and the Ash'aris, they suffered at the hands of Al-Kundari. And so Imam Al-Juwayni and many others, they had to leave Nisabur and they had to head off towards Al-Hijaz. After some time, when Kundari was removed, then Nizam Al-Mulk took his place. Nizam al-Mulk is the very, very famous Seljuk wazir, and mashallah, he is the one who set up the Nizamiya colleges. And he appoints Imam al-Juwayni as the main teacher in Nisabur. And later, who comes and studies under Imam al-Juwayni? Imam Ghazali, rahimahullah. The main teacher of Imam Ghazali was Imam al-Haramain, Imam al-Juwayni, rahimahullah. So, Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, he has a very short discussion with regards to qiyas. He states, analogical reasoning, al-qiyas, bab. وَأَمَّا الْقِيَاسُ فَهُوَ رَدُّ الْفَرْعِ إِلَى الْأَصْلِ بِعِلَّ تَجْمَعُهُمَا فِي الْحُكُمِ كَقِيَاسْ الْأَرُزْ عَلَى الْبُرْ فِي الْرِبَى بِجَامِعَ الطُّعْمِ. Analogical reasoning is returning the derived case, the far', back to the original case. So we're making qiyas, the new case upon the original case, due to an apparent cause, apparent effective cause called the illah, that joins between them in the ruling. For example, rice being made qiyas to wheat with regards to interest, riba, because they are likened in that they are both edible. Right? Divisions of analogical reasoning, fasl, وَهُوَ يَنْقَسِمُ إِلَى ثَلَاثَةِ أَقْسَامِ. Three categories, three types of qiyas. Qiyas illa, qiyas dalala, and qiyas shaba. We've already discussed. فَقِيَاسُ عِلَّةِ مَا كَانَتِ الْعِلُّ عِلَّةُ فِيهِ مُوجِبَةً للحكم بحيث لا يحسن عقلا تخلفه عنها كقياس الضرب على التأفيف للوالدين في التحريم بعلة الإيذاء. Analogical reasoning divides into three types of qiyas: causative, indicative, and similitude. We've already discussed number one, the qiyas of illa; number two, qiyas of dalala; number two, qiyas of shaba, similitude. Causation qiyas and qiyas of illa is that in which the apparent cause necessarily requires the ruling whereby it doesn't seem sound rationally for it to deviate from it. Example, beating your father or beating your mother is made qiyas upon saying uff to your parents, to one's parent, with respect to it being unlawful. Uff is haram, beating them is haram. Why? Because the apparent cause, the illa, is there. And what is the illa? Causing harm upon them. In fact, beating them is worse than saying uff. Jayid. So that's qiyas illa. Qiyas dalala, huwa al-istidlal bi ahad an-nazirain على الآخر وهو أن تكون العلة دالة على الحكم ولا تكون موجبة للحكم كقياس مال الصبي على مال البالغ في وجوب الزكاة فيه بجامع أنه مال نامي. That you have a kid 3 years old and he's got wealth. We have an adult 45 years old, he's got wealth. So the Shafi'is and majority of the ulama, one of the proofs would be that they make qiyas the wealth of the kid upon the wealth of the adult. That both of them are types of wealth. Both of them are types of wealth, gold and silver. And they have this intrinsic quality of nama. And so zakah must be due upon both the types of wealth. So the kid, zakah must be due upon his wealth. That's the question. Do we need to pay zakah upon the wealth of the three-year-old? So they made qiyas upon the wealth of the adult. I mean, they have other proofs, but this is one of the proofs, insha'Allah. Right? And so this is an example of qiyas dalala. Whereas the Hanafi scholars, they didn't do this qiyas. They didn't allow this. And they said no. That's why the Hanafi scholars state that the kid, there's no zakah upon his or her wealth. Jayyid. Wa qiyas ash-shaba هو الفرع المتردد بين أصلين فيلحق بأكثرهما شبها به كما في العبد إذا أتلف فإنه متردد في الضمان بين الإنسان الحر من حيث أنه آدمي وبين البهيمة من حيث أنه مال وهو بالمال أكثر شبها من الحر بدليل أنه يباع ويورث ويوقف وتضمن أجزاؤه بما نقص من قيمته. The analogy of similitude, shaba, is when the derived case resembles two cases. So it's attached to whichever one of it resembles more. Example, the compensation for an injured or a killed, a murdered slave, since with respect to the recompense, there is indecision as to whether he is, he's closer to being a free human from the perspective that he is a human being, or qiyas upon an animal. An animal, how? Why are you making a qiyas of the slave upon an animal? From the angle that the animal is bought and sold and gifted, similarly, the slave is bought and sold and gifted, etc., that he is property. He resembles property more than he resembles a free human, through the proof that he is sold can be inherited or declared an endowment, and there is recompense for his components when damaged in proportion to what they, when damaged, reduce from his sale value when complete. Right? So that's an example of qiyas shaba. So this slave, is he closer in terms of qiyas to a free man, or is he closer to any type of property out there? Right? Conditions for the integrals of analogical reasoning. Basically, the pillars of qiyas. The pillars of qiyas. Wa min shart al-far' أن يكون مناسبا للأصل فيما يجمع به بينهما للحكم أي أن يجمع بينهما بمناسب للحكم must be appropriate. A condition of the derived case, the far case, the new case, is that it be appropriate to the original case. This is with respect to what links the two together for the ruling in terms of the illah, meaning that something joined between them that is appropriate for the ruling. A condition of the original case is that it is established through evidence that is agreed upon by the debating partners. Doesn't have to be a religious matter, but the both parties agree, right? So that the analogy is binding upon the debating partner. But if they disagree, then that analogy won't be binding. If there is no debating partner, then the condition is that the ruling of the original case be established by evidence that one is making the analogy himself considered authoritative. Sometimes the Arabic is simpler to understand, right? ومن شرط العلة أن تطرد في معلوماتها فلا تنتقض لفظا ولا معنى فمتى انتقضت لفظا بأن صدقت الأوصاف المعبر بها عنها في صورة بدون الحكم أو معنى بأن وجد المعنى المعلل به في صورة بدون الحكم فسد القياس. Basically, the matter of consistency. الأول كأن يقال في القتل بمثقل أنه قتل عمد عدوان فيجب به القصاص كالقتل بالمحدد، فينتقد ذلك بقتل الوالد ولده فإنه لا يجب فيه قصاص. Stating that it needs to be consistent, Jayed. Like, for example, in that killing using a blunt instrument is premeditated murder, and so reciprocal qisas, retaliation, is obligatory. Just like killing with a sharp instrument. Killing with a blunt instrument is similar to killing with a sharp instrument. So somebody wants to make qiyas here. This is rendered inconsistent by the scenario where the father kills his son, since it does not oblige reciprocal retaliation. That there's no qiyas if the father killed the son. Jayid. A second example of inconsistency is like saying that zakah is obligatory for livestock in order to alleviate the needs of the poor. This is rendered inconsistent by the same apparent illah. Alleviating the needs of the poor via zakah existing in jewels while there is no zakah upon them. Jayid. So we've already touched upon this matter that the Hanafi scholar stated that the reason behind zakah, etc., is that you are alleviating the situation of the poor. Well, one way that one can break this type of qiyas would be that, well, jewels, you have diamonds, there's no zakah upon diamonds. There's no zakah upon diamonds. Jayid. And if you say that zakah is just all about alleviating the difficulty upon the poor, then you should oblige zakah upon the diamonds. A condition for the ruling, the hukum, is that it be similar to the apparent cause with regards to absence and presence. If the illah is there, then the hukum should be there. And if the illah is not there, then the hukum will not be there. The apparent cause, the illah, is what attracts the ruling due to the apparent cause being appropriate for the ruling. And the ruling is that which is attracted by the apparent cause because of what has been mentioned. Basically, that if we have the illah, then we have the hukum. We have the iskar, the intoxicant, ruling would be haram. There's no intoxicant, ruling will no longer be haram. Walhamdulillah. So ya Abdullah, ya Amat Allah, mashaAllah, tabarakAllah, we have completed our discussion related to qiyas. We've discussed qiyas from the text Tahil al-Fiqhi, and we've also discussed qiyas from the text al-Waraqat by Imam al-Juwayni rahimahullah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept from us. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us khair and barakah. We ask Allah to not make this knowledge that we are learning and studying a proof against us, but rather it be a proof for us. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless us in this world and in the hereafter. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to remove our sins, to forgive our sins committed in the brightness of the day and in the darkness of the night. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the company of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Jannat wal Firdaus. Barakallahu feekum. Until we meet again, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.